welcome to Pop a la Carte number 75. Woo! Achievement!
Woo!
Anyway, this week we are talking about the Oscars, the ridiculous rumors swirling around all of the Arrowverse shows, because not just one of them, all of them have ridiculous rumors. Jason Reitman says some problematic stuff about Ghostbusters, because, you know, it's another day, another guy says something problematic about it, something, right? Angela's got a couple reviews for us, and then we have an interview with the VPs of Shadowhunters, whose names I should know and say right now, but I can't remember what their names are.
Todd and Darren.
Todd and Darren? That's all I remember, too. Okay. I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
So, the Oscars were really amazing and then ended on a total disappointment, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything was going so well. No. I was watching, yeah. I was actually watching.
I did, too.
And I ended up having, like, so many opinions that I didn't expect to have. And first off, it's so much better without a host. Like, please, let's never have a host again.
Yeah, actually, it really saved it. I was like, wow, I don't feel like I'm missing anything without some idiot coming on and making stupid jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything was just like, you know, let's get to the next. Great.
Yeah.
Loved that. And then for the most part, I was agreeing with all the wins. I think the first win, I mean, I still love Olivia Colman and love The Favourite, but I was like, I knew that Yalitza was not going to win, but I was like, wouldn't it be nice if she won? She didn't win. I knew she wasn't going to win, but still, I was like, oh, sad. And then that final one, I was like, well, why? Why did this happen to me? Once they brought out John Lewis to introduce the film, I was like, all right, it's over. Clearly, they want us to.
It was like, oh, you guys think this is a really important movie and don't understand the problems with it at all. This is a bad sign.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's too bad. Yeah,
basically any of the other movies winning would have been better. Mm-hmm. Even Bohemian Rhapsody, which I do like that movie, but I know, like, A, you don't want to give it to the movie directed by a pedophile, right. And B, it's not best picture. Like, I enjoy the movie, but it's not.
Right.
Like, it shouldn't have even been in the category.
Right.
Especially when Into the Spider-Verse wasn't.
I was about to say, the one that should have won wasn't even in the category, which is Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. So we were just sitting there because I was like, I kept being like, no, you know what? Roma's going to take it. Roma's going to win. It's fine. And then it was like, they said Green Book, and Matt was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Did they just say that? And I'm like, but why?
Exactly. Yeah, my friend Tiffany was like, if Green Book wins, I'm going to bed. And I was like, Green Book. She's like, good night. I'm done.
Yeah, we were basically like, they should have just ended with Olivia Colman, although then you wouldn't have seen Alfonso get his award, which was cute, too.
Yes.
But, like, she was such a highlight. It was just like, okay, and then Alfonso, everybody knew that was coming, that's fine. It was a cute moment, because they're besties and, like, all that, and that was great. And then it was like, Green Book? Really?
Yeah. I saw this article on Vulture or something. I didn't even click it, because clickbait. But the article was like, was Roma ever really a front runner, or was it just Alfonso's campaign? And I was like, what does this mean? Is this like, are you saying like he Jedi mind tricked us into thinking that it was a front runner? Like, it did win 3 of the Oscars. So I don't understand. Like, I guess this movie was a failure because it didn't beat Green Book. So anyway.
Yeah, even Matt, like, we kept talking about it, and then we were laying in bed, and I was just like, I can't believe it, and he just, like, shook his head, and he was like, God, white people. And, you know, it is, it's like that meme that goes around that every once in a while, where it's like, do you ever, like, my God, white people?
And then you realize you are white people? Yes, that's exactly, I was just thinking of that tweet.
Because that is us. But I felt bad because Lisey, who's like part of the team who's been on the show, the podcast before, really loved it when she watched it yesterday. I was like, Lisey.
Oh,
she
no.
Didn't really, you know, and it's one of those things, though. It's like, if you aren't necessarily aware of your biases and the issues, like, I didn't even know the fried chicken thing was a thing until a few years ago.
Right.
And now I'm like, what? That's in the movie? So if you aren't aware of those things, I guess you could, you know, there's a reason good people are in the movie as well, or who love the movie, like, you know,
yeah, that's, I mean, part it's, of the it's, conversation. It's having. Kind of, it's like Crash all over again, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's like the most basic understanding of racism, right?
Yeah.
And then you, like, watch it, and you're like, well, I feel better about myself now. So.
Have you guys watched the Seth Meyers skit, The White Savior, the movie?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. It's a trailer that he did earlier, or last week, I think it was, that is just, it's a, like a 5-minute thing where it's about White Savior, the movie. It's hilarious. It's so, like, spot on. You're like, yes, this is totally a thing that you see all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, it does. It opens your eyes a bit.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah. It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's totally worth watching. It's on YouTube, obviously. Beyond that, I was really excited that Black Panther won the things it did win.
Yes.
Because yeah. I was
in costumes. I was like, come on.
Yeah, if it hadn't won costumes, I really would have sued. I really would have been like, this is it.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because Matt was, when I said, I was like, oh my God, Marvel Studios just won their first Oscar. And he was like, what are you talking about? They've won, like, what's it called, CGI before. And I was like, no, they haven't. That's the thing. It's always something else that wins, even though you're like, oh, they're obviously going to win.
Right.
And this time, Everybody was like, oh, well, obviously Infinity War is going to win. And then First Man won. And Matt was so weird when First Man won.
I was like, oh, okay.
I know. Matt was just like, I mean, they faked the moon landing in 1969. If they could do it then. And he's just like, is your dad mad at me yet? Because obviously my dad works for NASA. And he's like, obviously they did not fake the moon landing. But they could have done half that shit probably back then.
Mm-hmm.
With miniatures. Yeah, I don't know. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I still think I'm happy for Rami Malek that he won, because I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job too. I have a friend that like really like hates him now because of that one video where he didn't say hi to that girl. She's like, all you can do is say hi.
There's some video where he doesn't say hi to somebody.
Yeah, there's, like, something where, like, there's some group of fans that, like, want to talk to him, and he's, like, trying to, like, get past them, and someone's like, can you just say hi? And he, like, just walked off, and then Amber's like, all he had to do was say hi! And I was like, okay.
Everybody's allowed a bad day.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not that upset about this. but then my other friend was like, he didn't say fuck Bryan Singer in his speech, so you just throw the whole thing away. It doesn't matter. And I was like, well... Oh yeah. Well, but no, he did do a good job, so like I do think, like, in terms of just performance wise he is deserving of the award, so
yeah. I liked the Queen opened the show. Mm. Although Matt just spent the whole time being like, I just don't like his works. I really just don't like it. I think it works. And he was like basically talking over the whole thing, complaining. He's like oh God, I can't listen to this. I'm like
just enjoy the moment.
I was listening to it too, and I was like, he's fine, it's not Freddie Mercury, but they don't have that option.
Right.
And should the rest of Queen not be allowed to play? Like,
yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Right.
Although Matt did say he wishes they had done something like Radio Gaga instead to see if the audience actually would have responded. You know, one of the ones where they have to actually interact. That would have been fun.
Yeah. I did think, I was like, really? Like, I don't know. Picking these are fine. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a weird, I thought, weird song choice.
Maya Rudolph, Tina Fey, and Amy Poehler can basically do no wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. And they were so funny.
Having them do the intro, even though they're not the host, was actually a very good idea, because they were perfect.
Yeah, just do that every year. Different intro, and then that's it. That's all you really need.
Yeah.
Or even just the three of them.
Right, every year. Every year, the three of them.
Every single year.
That was emeritus, or however you say that word.
Oh, Spike Lee, it was adorable.
Yes.
Finally getting an Oscar.
Yes, I was really happy about that. Although then, did you hear he was mad? He was, like, apparently very mad about Green Book winning or whatever.
Yes.
So say it yourself.
Yeah, right?
I don't blame him. Apparently, he did actually try to leave.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let him because they're not allowed to, like, during the broadcast, they won't let doors open or close.
Yeah.
So he had to go sit back down.
Relatable. And then and then when they asked him about it in the press room or whatever, he said, like, oh, well, every time someone's driving someone else, I lose. they just switched the seats, but I still lose. But yeah, I mean, he did. I'm glad he won for screenwriting. Definitely deserved that. I can't believe he hasn't won before now. You know, like, that's crazy to me. So thank God that he won. I also love that, like, was it like 5 of the last 6 best director wins have been, you know, one of the 3 amigos, the Mexican directors. So that also, I also approve of this.
Going back to Green Book really quick, the other thing I noticed, all you needed to know about that movie was how white that stage was.
Right.
There were only 5 black people on that stage, and I'm pretty sure they were all actors.
Mm.
It wasn't anybody behind the scenes. Like, the 3 people who won for the screenplay, because they won for screenplay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All 3 of them were white.
Right.
And then when they all walked on stage at the end, when they won, I was like, wow, that's a really, really white group of people.
Yes. It's just so funny, like, the way that they kept pointing to, like, Octavia Spencer every single time, you know? It's like, look, we have... The Green Book has black friends. But... But yeah.
I don't know. And I'm happy for Mahershala Ali, although I haven't seen it, but it sounds like a lot of people actually said that Richard E. Grant probably kind of deserves that award.
Oh, really?
But I haven't seen either movie.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Mahershala is amazing, because he is amazing.
Yeah, he's always amazing.
But,
I haven't seen, wait, which one was Richard E. Grant in which one?
Oh God, it's the one with Melissa McCartney.
Will You Ever Forgive Me? Or Can You Ever
Forgive
Me?
Yes, Will You Ever Forgive Me.
I definitely have not seen that one, so I don't know. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he is also worthy. I'm just glad I didn't, no offense to Adam Driver, I think he's great, but I was like, does he really need an Oscar for this? So.
No, he doesn't. So, yeah.
Was there anyone else that I was hoping you didn't go to? I don't know. I don't remember who else, but yeah.
I think people were surprised that Bohemian Rhapsody got sound editing.
Oh, really?
Like, it was expected to get mixing because they've made such a big deal of how they had to mix Freddie's and Rami's and then that other performer's voice together. So people kind of thought that, but I think sound editing. And then it got film editing, didn't it?
Film editing was the one that...
The editing wasn't that great.
Yeah, the film editing was the one where I was like, okay, too many. Too many. Like, when I got the both sound ones, I was like, sure, that makes sense. And then it got filmed, and I was like, stop. But anyway.
I think it's funny that, going back to Rami, nobody, I was like, okay, so he didn't actually say Freddie's name in his speech. I was like, I'm surprised nobody's surprised at that. But I saw stories today, both where they're, like, pissed off that, that the movie isn't gay enough. And then that people are pissed off that when he said, you know, Freddie was a gay man, and it doesn't deal with the fact that he had, like, female lovers.
I was like, isn't he bisexual? Was he bisexual?
No, he was gay.
Oh, he was gay? All right.
Yeah. I mean, he had his one, you know, the love of his life was the person he left his money to, and that was a woman. And that's the woman that's in the movie.
Very confusing. Very confusing.
I know.
I don't understand. Sexuality is fluid. It's fine. All right.
It doesn't matter. We need to stop putting labels on things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's why representation matters, because if everybody was getting good representation, people wouldn't be so polarized about how they feel about the representation.
Right. They wouldn't be so concerned about labels. Yeah.
So that's the thing. They don't want, you know, bisexual people who see themselves in Freddie Mercury don't want to feel erased. And then, but, like, there's a very real fear of him. I'm trying to, like, not make him just seem man, but, like, there wouldn't be so much pressure on it if we just did better. And then you could just accurately reflect the thing that, yes, exactly, it's fluid, and he probably would have been like, it's my business, go away.
Right.
I mean, he was never open with his sexuality, like, to the public, because it wasn't anybody else's business, which is true.
Yeah.
It's the business of the people he's actually having relationships with, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, a movie about a period, about women's period.
Oh, yes, yes. I love that. I love that. Yeah.
Their speech was adorable, too. I was so happy for them, because they were really just super happy.
So it almost feels like Green Book was just, because so many actual forward strides were, when you take away the Green Book stuff, so many forward strides were made in the Oscars this year. In some ways, it feels like Green Book was a reaction to that. They were like, oh, change. scary.
That's honestly probably true, yeah, because I did see something like one of those brutally honest Oscar ballot things that goes around where, you know, like the Hollywood Reporter or whatever has, you know, somebody who's anonymous who's like being brutally honest about why they did or didn't vote for things. And one of the guys was like, I'm never going to vote for something that's about a period that's icky. And it's like, seriously, that's just fucking natural. Get over it.
That's ridiculous.
It's like, it wouldn't be icky if we stopped making it like such a big deal and just we're like, it's a thing that happens. But, you know, at least, you know, Pixar didn't win best animated feature because I love Pixar, but I was happy to see something else win.
Oh my god, if anything had won over Spider-Verse, I would not have continued watching after that. I'd be like, well, we're good. Thank you for...
I think there would have been a riot.
I mean, I'm a little worried that if there hadn't been Spider-Verse, they might have given it back to Pixar, and I don't feel that they deserved it. Like, I didn't see any of the other ones in the category, but I feel like somebody has to be head and shoulders above the rest to win it from Pixar these days, and I don't think that's fair. Pixar can put out middling fare and get it anyway.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah.
That is a very, very good point.
But
I mean, because they won animated short, and, you know, I know Catherine at least. I didn't watch all of them, but I know Catherine at least was like, it wasn't the best animated short.
Oh, really?
Out of those five.
Well, yeah, I can't say that I watched all five. I love Bao, though, so.
That was adorable. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, Matt was... We were trying to watch it recently because he watched Incredibles 2 finally, but on Netflix, but it's not attached to it on Netflix, and it's not on Netflix at all. You actually, like, it was for a short time, apparently, but now it's on, you have to pay for it, like $2, and I'm like, it's a 5-minute fucking short, and you want me to pay $2 for it? A dollar I might have done, but I'm like, for some reason, $2 is like, that's a lot of money when it's not very much.
It's double the... Yeah, it was on YouTube briefly.
Huh?
It was briefly on YouTube for free.
Yeah, apparently not anymore. So yeah, he doesn't know what it's about, except so then he saw the clip and he's like, wait, it's about a woman with a dumpling? And I'm like, you have to see it!
Yeah, really, like, no, you have to...
No, it's more than that, but I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, when they said something about motherhood, he may have figured it out, but...
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you have to watch it, because it's really cute.
It was really cute. I don't even know where you'd watch animated shorts in general, you know? Like, where do you see the others? Just online, on YouTube?
I think they're on YouTube, but I don't know if they're free or not, but I think that's how Catherine said she watched them.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully Pixar will release, like, a roundup of a bunch of theirs.
And then nice.
Those side shorts I've been watching recently, and I might have cried a little bit at Kipple.
Mm.
Puppy and a kitty cat. Unpredictable.
Yeah, a little bit. It's all right, though.
Anyway, I think that's all I have to say about the Oscars.
Yeah. You know, overall, like, I was like, I feel like, given the train wreck that had been, you know, that it was
leading
going
to
be,
it.
Exactly, it ended up being much better than expected, minus that unfortunate final award that we will all collectively
erase. If it weren't for that, I think we all would have been like, oh, no, that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe there were some things that we weren't sure about, but whatever.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman is, you know, a treasure, and I'm just going to remember her.
She was so cute. And there were some great speeches, too, especially, like...
Yeah, there were some really good speeches.
Yeah.
Spike Lee's speech was really good.
Hannah Beach's speech was really good. Beechler for Black Panther. Yeah. Lots of good ones. And I actually... I loved the Alfonso Cuarón, like, when he was like, oh, I grew up watching foreign language films. And then he was listening to English, because English is a foreign language. So I enjoyed that joke. Someone that I follow was like saying like, oh, people laugh, but like they didn't understand the joke. And I was like, but even if you got the joke, you would laugh. It's funny, right? It's funny that you're saying English is a foreign language because it is to many people. So anyway.
Oh my God. Did you guys see that Trevor Noah totally punked us?
Yes, the Trevor Noah joke. That was so funny.
I was like, oh my God, you are my hero. For those who don't know, how do you pronounce the, I think it's Zosha.
Yeah.
he said a phrase in his native language, and then what, he told us it was, like, some really inspiring phrase, but yes. It actually was just that white people don't know I'm lying. Which, like, high five, because you deserve that.
I think someone did point out, which I thought was funny, like, they were like, to be fair, Charlize Theron probably knows that he's lying. She's South African.
She might.
So, like, not all white people don't know.
You know, this thing I saw way back, like, in our not great days of cinema when they would have, like, Native American actors playing very stereotypical roles, but they wouldn't check what they were saying at all.
Oh, so, yeah.
So a lot of people have gone and translated it, and there's a lot of, they're just, like, cursing everyone out.
And so, that's beautiful. That's really happy. I'm like, I need to look that up, because that's absolutely beautiful. I want to see that.
It's in the movie, or the documentary, Real Engine, R-E-L, like a film reel.
Yeah.
And I think that documentary might be on Hulu now, it used to be on Netflix, and it's the history of Native Americans in Hollywood, basically.
Oh,
check it out.
There's one last thing I want to mention about the Oscars. Sorry, this has gone on forever, okay. But did you guys see, like, everyone talking about Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, like, on Twitter over that performance? Like, I must have been, I don't know, like, because, like, yes, you know, it was an intimate performance, but I'm not one to be like, God, they must be in love, or they must be boning, or Arena must be so jealous, so.
It's always funny to me when people are like, oh, they're obviously really in love. It's like, do you really think they're that bad of actors that they can't pretend to be? Like, because that's what you're saying.
Right.
Like, that there's no way they could pretend that.
Yeah, and if you're trying to, like, hide it, wouldn't you, like, not do that? Right?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, isn't he married with a baby? Like, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be like, let me just show off my...
It's always just like, really? Do you understand how you're insulting them? Because you're like, oh, nobody's that good an actor.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, maybe they really are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But my friend is like, why don't you have love in your heart? Why can't you just believe this?
Because what about the love for his wife?
Exactly! I don't only believe in the love I can see. Like, your private life is not real. Only the public performances count. Nothing else matters.
That randomly reminds me, we did our, Matt and I like to count how many Marvel actors end up on stage, by the way, and we hit 15 last night.
Oh, nice.
But it's MCU. We don't count any, like, James McAvoy doesn't count. And only MCU movies. But also, that just a little aside to end on, my favorite part of, like, the best costume was that Chris Evans totally gave it away, because he looks over before Jennifer Lopez, like, actually read it, and he went, like, he fist, like,
oh.
Was, like, all excited, about, like, you could tell, and it was like, well, Black Panther obviously just
yes.
What else
are
you
going to
be excited about?
That's so cute. And also, I think sometimes the presenter also just gives it away. Because there's some people that you're like, if anyone other than that category wins this award, then that presenter is a really rude choice. Like Guillermo del Toro coming out to give it to someone who is not Alfonso Cuarón. Or when Denai and whoever, I think. Oh no, Angela Bassett giving it to someone who was not Black Panther. You know, like, all right. That's obviously...
Well, it's just like Paul Rudd was there for the special effects, and then Infinity War didn't win.
I guess that's at least he's the one that's giving it. He's losing it for himself, kind of. But yeah.
Well, and I mean, Chadwick Boseman gave out best song, and nobody thought.
Oh, yeah, no one thought it was that one. I mean, yeah, that's true.
As we wanted it to, nobody.
They didn't even perform it, right? That one wasn't even performed. Yeah.
No, it wasn't performed because I think they couldn't, scheduling wise, they couldn't be there.
Mm.
Which I'm assuming is part of the reason that Emily Blunt didn't perform the song for Mary Poppins Returns, because she wasn't even there.
Oh, yeah.
So, because I was upset when I saw that, I mean, like, I love Bette Midler, but I was like, oh, I really wanted to see Emily Blunt do it, and then it was like, oh, she wasn't even at the ceremony, so never mind. She probably had other things to do. More important things to do.
More important things, yeah.
Anyway. All right, moving on from there. Tatiana, this is your moment to tell us all the wonderful, ridiculous rumors that are happening in the Arrowverse today.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So we've heard many things coming out of, like, especially We Got It Covered has really got everything about the Arrowverse covered, apparently, because they've come out with a bunch of different, you know, sources saying these kinds of things. And it started off with we heard from Super Movie Bros or something, someplace, came out with this rumor that one of the original cast members of The Flash was going to leave by the end of the season. And everyone automatically assumed it was Carlos Valdez, who plays Cisco, because he's missed 3 episodes now for the first time ever. Like, over the course of the season, not in a row.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, and he's never missed an episode before. Plus, of course, he's always in every crossover, so he's been in, like, more episodes than there have been of The Flash. So, so anyway. So everyone's like, oh, it's okay, it's Carlos. And then suddenly a bunch of other sites come out with their little, like, oh, Carlos might be leaving The Flash. And I was like, this sounds like it's just coming from the fans saying it's Carlos. But then we got it covered. Apparently seems to have, like, a source saying that Carlos is going to want to go. And then that was followed by some other source saying that Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow will be announced as final seasons for next season. And that I think, like, maybe some of those shows will end with Crisis. Like, the Crisis crossover will also be, like, say, the final episode of Legends, for example. Which would be a little bit, like, on the one hand, that makes total sense, and then you could just kill off half the characters. But on the other hand, hopefully you'd have, like, a couple more episodes to wrap up the storylines for the ones that are not dead. to see where they end up. So we'll see about that. Then another rumor comes out that Danielle Panabaker will be following Carlos, will also be leaving, except that that one was saying, like, that source said it's not as clear, like, it might be a move to get more money, like, to renegotiate the contract, and also that it might not happen at the end of this season, it might happen next season, in which case it would just be, like, not renewing your contract, because next season I think will be the last time, because it's season 6, so, like, whatever. And then finally, the latest one is, this is, like, the weirdest and, like, most difficult to believe to me, because they are saying that Supergirl, like, the CW isn't happy with Supergirl ratings, and therefore, if it doesn't improve, next season will be the last season. Unlike, like, say, Arrow is just, like, it's done now and Steven would like to go home. Like, that's why they would end Arrow, you know? But Supergirl, even though for me, like, half the time it seems like Melissa would just like to leave, they're saying it's because they're unhappy with the ratings. So I'm like, I would buy it if it was like Melissa just doesn't want to do it anymore, so they, like, might end it early. It's probably the second highest rated show on the CW after Flash, you know? Like, everything else is worse than Supergirl, so why would Supergirl be the one that goes?
Well, and then that one was not just that it was going to get canceled, but it was going to be replaced with Tyler
Superman.
Hoechlin as
exactly.
Superman.
Yeah.
And that, I can't believe they'd be stupid enough to do that.
Right. I mean,
as much as he's great, it's not that. It's just you're going to replace the female-led show with another white male.
Yes. And
but
also,
we've already
just like,
done the Superman thing.
Right. We've already seen Superman. Plus, it's not like having Superman brings ratings, you know? Like, if you replace Supergirl with Superman, you're going to get the same ratings you already got, as evidenced by the fact that when Superman has guest starred on Supergirl, the ratings have not changed. They remain the same. Unlike, like, the whole reason why CW bought Supergirl in the first place was because The Flash made Supergirl ratings go up on CBS. Like, CBS's ratings shot up when Flash guest starred. So, like, okay, obviously, that's something that we can work with. Whereas Superman has not done anything other than, you know, creatively, yes, it's very nice to see him, and Tyler Hoechlin does a great job. But, plus you have the same issue, like, you've lived in a world for 4 years, or even 5 at that point, where Supergirl is, like, the main hero, and now suddenly Clark is doing stuff without her? Like, what's Kara doing? Be like, where's Kara? Why isn't she helping? A silhouette of Kara. A cardboard cutout of Melissa Benoist shows up. So.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it, but Craig from K-Site actually, like, put up a reaction, and he basically was like, I'm not even gonna link to that stupid article because they're just making shit up for clickbait.
Right.
Like, he really dragged, because who was it? Was it Comic Book that did it?
It was Cosmic Book News. Like, not even Comic News. Cosmic. So at first I was like, this is like a parody, right? But they're like, no, this is, and they also linked to We Got It Covered. So I was like, alright, they got everything covered, I guess. they do not got it covered.
But yeah, I mean, at the CW,
mm-hmm.
When they did their TCA just like 2 weeks ago, the head of the CW was raving about Supergirl and how happy they are. So it makes absolutely no sense for this to be
right.
In a year, if it like starts to tank or something, maybe. But it seems to do well enough. Like, I don't get it. Of all of the rumors that you listed, which ones do you believe? Or do you believe any of them?
I think that Carlos leaving is the most likely. Like, that one I do believe, just because it seems to me like he would like to leave. And they don't give Cisco much, even though he's, like, the most popular character after Barry. He doesn't get to do anything ever. And yeah, the fact that he's been missing episodes makes you think he's definitely on his way out. I don't like that.
I don't deserve.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I'm like, if
he deserves better.
Yeah, if it's the case, like, I wish him all the best. You know, I know he's got his life in New York, so he probably wants to, maybe he wants to do a Jeremy Jordan thing, right? Where he wants to go back on Broadway. Which I would understand, plus his girlfriend lives in New York, etc. So, like, it makes sense. Also, from what I've heard, like, it seems like at least the Arrowverse is very, like, nice about contracts. Like, if you want to break your contract, they're not going to actually make you pay millions of dollars or whatever. They're just like, all right, I guess that's fine.
Because who wants to keep somebody around who's not happy?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And they've got, I mean, like, this thing, like, the Arrow, like, they've got so many people anyway that it's, like, they probably could stand to lose a few regulars. I just don't want it to be Cisco. I don't think that's the regular you should lose.
Danielle, you'd be happy to lose.
Yes, Danielle and Tom can go on their merry way. But, and I love Tom, too. I think Tom is great. But his many versions of Wells have, you know.
It's done. Sherlock dropped the shark. It's
yeah, over. Exactly. Like, no more, please.
It was funny once or twice, but how many are they on now?
Right.
And every single Wells always knows about the multiverse. Like,
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, no matter what he is, he's the one that knows the most about the multiverse. I'm like, why does this random Sherlock Holmes ripoff know about the multiverse? Like, it doesn't. There's not a. Anyway.
Also, his accents are terrible.
Oh,
like,
yes.
They're
really
so fake.
They really are.
Sorry. I think Arrow ending is believable, too.
Yes, that's the second most believable. Yeah, I'm sure Steven would like to be done. And also, I'm positive. I'm so positive that Oliver is going to die in Crisis. And I don't.
Yeah, they foreshadowed that pretty heavily. Yeah.
And even if they wanted to continue Arrow without Oliver, because they do have Emiko now, like, that is an option, I don't think that it would be, I don't think it would last. So I think it'd be better to just let Oliver die and then have, like, an episode wrap up or whatever with, like, now Emiko will be, you know, the Arrow.
I mean, that's 7 seasons. That's a good run.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll be the 8th season. Like, next season will be 8. So, good. Let it go. Let it die. Because, yeah, unless you're Supernatural, you don't get better with age. Not Supernatural actually does, but its fans don't want it to die.
Supernatural,
so.
It works. But, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's rare. Most things by now you're like, stop. There's a reason I always say that, like, I tend to prefer, you know, as much as it can get frustrating, because, you know, basically Game of Thrones does follow, like, the foreign model, and you're like, oh my god, but I'm waiting forever. But
right.
As much as it can be frustrating, it's worth it, because usually the quality is so much better for, even if you do get less, at least it's good. I'd rather have good and less than, you know, 100 episodes of meh.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
It's a good place. That's how I feel about The Good Place.
Right.
Yeah. Like, shit, I hate it. I want to cry. Like, we have to wait. It won't even be on Netflix till August, but, like, it's so good.
Exactly. I would much rather have to wait and get excited whenever it comes on than to have it constantly and be tired of it. Like, even now, like, right now, I'm like, I love, and y'all know I love The Flash, but I'm still like, oh, thank God it's not on this week.
You're like, I can use a break.
Exactly. So, anyway. That one, yeah, Danielle leaving, I've kind of, like, I could imagine, like, I believe that she could, like, threaten to leave so that she'll get more. I just don't think that she'd really leave unless she got, you know, like, why would you leave before your contract's up unless you have an actual offer, you know? And I feel like they've made an effort to give her more, even though I, you know, I don't personally enjoy it, but I do see that effort. Wouldn't you agree, Angela?
Yes.
She's been on enough.
Yes.
It doesn't make none of it makes sense. It doesn't. They, like, give Cisco her know-how because he's, like, splicing genes now.
Mm-hmm.
But then she takes over, which would have made sense from the beginning. But
yeah. Right, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's literally, right now, he's the one that wanted to create a metahuman cure. And yet, he goes off-screen to make it while Caitlin and Ralph, like, deal with the metahuman cure storyline. I'm like, what is happening right now? Why would you give Sisko a storyline and then not have him on screen for it?
He just brightens everything when he's there. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's, I mean, until recently, he and Caitlin are given about the same amount to do, but it's noticeable.
Yeah, this season, the difference is noticeable. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's noticeable who does more with less.
Well, yes, that very much is true.
It's hard to imagine that she's the one that would be leaving, because it's like, where is she gonna go?
I mean, she's established, like, you know, she has her name known, and she knows lots of people, and, like, I'm sure she could, you know, do more Hallmark movies, so.
I think it's signalized, maybe, unless you're, you know, filming somewhere fake snowy.
Right, right.
A lot of Hallmark movies.
Fly free! Anyway. Oh well. But yeah, I definitely don't believe Supergirl's going anywhere. Even if they did do the Superman show, I don't think that they would. I think they would wait until Supergirl, like, came to its natural conclusion.
Yeah.
I tried to watch another episode, like, Matt was watching it when I was sitting on the couch next to him, and I was just like, God damn it, this is terrible. So bad. I'm so sad because I really wanted to like it. And it just was, it's unbearable to me. I don't know. Aww. It doesn't help that I don't know what's going on, so that's part of it. But then Matt will explain things, and I'm just like, really? Seriously? How does it make any fucking sense? Why does our sister not know that she's Supergirl now? I don't even know. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So, they had to wipe her memory so that she wouldn't be tortured or whatever into giving away Supergirl's identity by the government, because now the government is trying to figure out Supergirl's identity. There you go. That's why.
Okay.
And so sure. John wiped her memory, except that it's stupid, because, like, it also wiped things, like, now she doesn't know that Kara's favorite movie is The Wizard of Oz, because the reason why it's her favorite movie is because she's, like, a stranger in a strange land, and she finds a new home with blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can't just say her movie is her favorite movie, The Wizard of Oz, because she liked it, period. Like, I don't remember why you liked it. That's fine. No, she can't remember that it's her favorite movie. So, I was like, okay, that's stupid.
A lot of people just really like Judy Garland, okay?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Why can't that be your reason?
I mean, to be fair, like, if she wants to work with government resources, it's fair enough for the government to want to know who she is.
Yes.
But then it really begs the question, like, why is that necessary? Like, you don't need the DEO. You just want to hang out there because your sister's there.
Right.
But, like, you don't need to be there. So
I mean, I guess it's, like, because if she's not working with the government, then she's a vigilante, right?
And is that's Superman not a vigilante?
Well, then he's not around, okay? He's on Argo with his baby. So it doesn't really
count. Technically, it doesn't count.
And also, it's only because of the new administration that is Trump. So, whereas
when I was on, I was like, I didn't know Bruce Boxleitner joined the show, and he's like, he's not a good guy. I'm like, oh no, I can already tell.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we're doing Ghostbusters now.
Yes.
Yes. White dude said some stupid things again.
Disappointed, but not surprised. All right, tell us about, or someone tell me about the Ghostbusters thing, because all I know is that it happened. I don't know what happened exactly.
Angela, you want to take this one?
So, what's his, Jason Reitman is making a new Ghostbusters, and that already didn't rub me the right way, but we'll get back to that. And, but he did some interview about it, and he was like, this will be the Ghostbusters for the fans, effectively, is what he said. And then
he was giving it back to the fans.
Oh, yes, that's even worse. Yes. He's giving it back to the fans. And then he even managed to, like, diss Juno as well. He's like, this won't be like Juno Ghostbusters. Yeah, exactly. That was me.
Yeah.
I was like, where do I begin?
Yeah.
So, because picking him to do it just shows exactly what they're trying to do.
Yes.
It's funny because it's like, I never saw the all-female Ghostbusters. And it was not because it was all-female. It was because I don't, like, I'm getting sick of reboots for the most part anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I literally just wish all they had to do was be like, this is the same universe, and this is a franchise, and I would have been in. But it was like rebooting it. I'm like, I don't need to see this movie. I don't care. I just didn't bother. But at the same time, I'm also then defensive when you are like, oh, it's giving back to the fans. Because it's okay, that does imply that...
Or like, you're not a real fan if you liked that one or whatever, you know?
Because you've got to make a movie that's going to appeal to more people. Because it's been 30 years, and people will have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And us saying Ghostbusters isn't going to sell the movie.
That's my biggest thing.
Like, especially...
The fact that they... are making a new one again so soon. The fact that they're making a new one again so soon and they picked Jason Reitman to direct it just shows to me, like, they are trying to chase after those fanboys. But Ghostbusters 2016, Answer the Call or whatever, did not do the numbers it did in the theaters because of those fanboys. Because if it was about pissed off fanboys, Star Wars wouldn't be doing well. Black Panther wouldn't have done well. So it's like, that's not the reason why you didn't make whatever money I think you maybe thought you were making or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess we could sort of take the attitude we had before in that, like, the 2016 Ghostbusters did not take away anything from the existence of the 80s Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And so neither does this new one, except that it does sort of feel like...
they're presenting it as to take something away. So,
actually, and having him there, like, Jason Reitman made his name on Juno, and he's going to turn around and diss it because it's a lady movie. Like, so, and he came out, he apologized, and Paul Feig defended him on Twitter, saying, oh, he's a good friend of mine. He was really supportive of my Ghostbusters movie. But he said, like, Jason Reitman said he, like, spoke poorly, like, he chose his words poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, you did, but also, I don't know that there's any other way to interpret what you were saying. Like, basically, what you're, like, even if you had found a more tactful way to say it, the meaning is still there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, goodbye. Like, I had no interest. I went and saw all the 2016 Ghostbusters, and I'm not interested in this.
Yeah. I also saw 2016 Ghostbusters, and, if, like, it's not like I'm, like, not, like, a Ghostbusters person anyway, so I didn't have any vested interest in the original. I only saw the 2016 one because of the backlash against it, so I was like, all right, let me go watch this. So, if it had never existed, I would not be watching this new Ghostbusters, and now that it does exist, and he said this, I'm definitely not watching the new Ghostbusters, so.
Yeah, it's like, I loved the originals. Mm-hmm. I grew up on them. We watched them. We watched the cartoon. All, you know, the first crush I can remember, I had a crush on Egon. Like, I always liked the nerd boy, apparently.
Aww.
So, like, literally, I adore those movies. But at the same time, I have absolutely no desire to see anything more in it. It's too late. It was 30 years ago. You know, Harold Ramis is gone. Like, it's not going to be... this Dan Aykroyd is fucking crazy. It's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why are we doing this? There's got to be something new you can do. Even do what I said the other one should have been, and just, okay, if you have to do it, just make it a franchise.
Yeah.
And then they can appear as themselves, but they're not, like, the focus of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I don't even really want that. I'm done. I like the first two movies. We'll just deal with that, and let's go.
It's not like new Ghostbusters movies requires destroying all copies of the previous Ghostbusters movie. Like,
I will just keep watching those, and I will just live my life happy and not... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Sigh. People are dumb.
That is true.
There are plenty of original ideas out there, but they're all too afraid to make them. It's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah.
This is 100% accurate. We need someone to take a chance. Take a chance on original ideas.
Nope. Nobody wants to do it.
Sad times.
You know, because, like, half the movies coming out this year, it feels like it's like, oh, hey, Bohemian Rhapsody did well. Let's do Elton John's story.
Right.
And Bowie's story. And who else can we get? And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. They're like, hey, this works, so let's copy it.
Exactly. They're like, let's flood it until, like, just people don't want it anymore, and then we'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
There are good things actually coming out. I saw that the guy who directed Dope, I don't know if you saw that movie.
Yes.
I liked it. He is going to be directing the adaptation of Child of Blood and Bone.
Oh, cool.
So,
he's the guy, that's Rick Famuyiwa, right? He's the one that was going to do the Flash movie until it was too multicultural and they got rid of him.
Well, he's like, of all of you, this is a fantasy book, but it's very good. So speaking of original, I mean, I guess not if it's a book adaptation, but if
but
we're
it's at least
that, no movies.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's a different story. It's
exactly.
Not just, like, it's a new format for this story.
Yeah, and I love book adaptations because then it makes it more likely that people will buy that book. And then
yep.
It makes it less likely that the industry of literature will die forever. So
it's always hard, but I'm fairly good usually at going in and be like, this, you know, movie, TV show, whatever, vaguely will resemble this book I read once. And so I can usually separate myself.
Right.
But, you know, it's as long as they don't bastardize it too much.
Right. I mean, as long as the choice, for me, it's like, as long as the choices they make are good for the characters or, like, you know, are good for the story, then, like, yeah, I'm all for that. Like, there's plenty of choices in Shadowhunters, for example, that I think are far superior to the books. And I fully support them making those choices. So.
The Magicians. I still have not brought myself to watch the show because I hate the books so much. But
the show is so much better than the books.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
They actually just released a teaser, so it doesn't really show you much for the adaptation of His Dark Materials.
Oh.
Which the BBC, which I'm so excited. But like, it's literally just shots of people. It's, you know, it's one of those where you're like, there is no context.
Right.
Lyra's running. That's all I know because she does. She runs away. So that's a thing.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah. But everybody looks amazing. I like, you know, James McAvoy, Ruth Wilson, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Daphne Keane.
Yay.
Like, I'm excited. Yeah. Anyway. Now it is Angela's corner turn. She's the one who actually saw things that she's going to review for us.
I actually watched things that weren't K-drama the past week.
Yay!
So, I guess not the first one that I watched, but the bigger one is, I went and saw Isn't It Romantic, which is the rom-com semi-parody with Rebel Wilson and Liam Hemsworth and Priyanka Chopra and Adam Devine. And it was good. It was really cute. It's one of those things where, like, it could have been really good or flopped, but I actually thought they walked the tightrope really, really well, because it, like, constantly calls out the negative rom-com tropes, while fully embracing the cheesy ones that we love, that are, like, not as problematic, and it manages to, like, totally strike that balance, and, I mean, it ends with, like, a dance number with no explanation. Like, most of the movie can be ridiculous because it's all her, like, weird coma dream or whatever. But what I really liked about when it was the real world, because, I mean, they're critiquing things, like, down to a very nitty-gritty level. Like, her hair. Like, her clothes and her hair when she's in the real world versus when she's in rom-com world. She looks like a normal human being. Her office looks like a normal person's office. Like, not this, like, gleaming, and so, I mean, actually, that meant a lot to me, actually, seeing just people look normal.
Yeah, that's always nice, isn't it?
It was really cool. I was, like, I was sitting there watching it, and I was, like, this is how we get so screwed up. Because, like, at first, you're, like, responding to them looking normal, and you're, like, oh, like, we want people to be so, like, everything's so pretty and so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just didn't do that, we wouldn't be desiring it as much, I think.
Right.
Just let her look, have normal hair. Like, I don't know. So, yeah, it was really cute. The love, like, I mean, it did put a little love story in there, but didn't totally take over the plot. Apparently somebody needs to get the Hemsworth brothers in a, like, musical comedy. Because I think all they really wanted to. When you just see how joyful, like, speaking of Ghostbusters, Chris Hemsworth was in Ghostbusters.
Yes!
Liam was in this one. You're like, these guys, like, they just, like, somebody get them to be the dudes in Into the Woods and sing Agony. Like, they would be all over that.
Did they sing? I've never actually heard them sing.
He sings a tiny bit in this because there's a karaoke scene.
Wait, who is he?
Liam Hemsworth. So he's the one who, in the Comaverse, is like sort of her love interest, but not even within the Comaverse, he's not the endgame love interest. Like, but he's the like handsome dude who's beguiled by her. Beguiled is a running joke.
Now, I didn't actually like. I only saw like one preview or something for it. But is Adam Devine her love interest?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I.
So she's in, like, she figures out that she grew up, she hates rom-coms, she hits her head and she wakes up in a rom-com.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, she eventually decides to go with it, and the typical, like, I have to obviously get to the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so she thinks it's Liam Hemsworth that she's supposed to end up with to end the story. But he turns out to be terrible, and then she realizes she has feelings for Adam Devine, okay. And she's like, but when she goes after him, still doesn't end the story. So, like, it's like Penelope, she has to love herself.
Oh, Penelope was great, by the way. Yes, Penelope's a great film.
Penelope. That's why I put that in there. So then, but even when she wakes up from the coma dream and then she goes back, like, there is still, like, a little love line between them, which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, like, they managed to end it. Like, she's got a line where she's, like, acknowledges that she's in a relationship. She's like, he doesn't complete me, I complete me. And then they go into an Madonna Express Yourself musical number to end the movie, and that's, and then it's over.
Okay.
Yeah, it was cute. Like, so there's two musical numbers, and one is in the coma rom-com dream, but that's a karaoke scene. Mm-hmm. So at least it sort of has explanation within the plot, but then Express Yourself at the end, there's no reason for it. They're just having fun. But it gets, like, it can do it, because it is. It is just fun, but it is intelligent at the same time. It's not perfect, but I enjoyed it. So.
Well, now I might see it. I'm thinking about getting the AMC, what is it, A-list, their card that they have here, where you can see, you know, three movies a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically thinking about getting it because Captain Marvel and Endgame are coming up, and I'm going to want to see them like 800 times, so I might as well do it in a way that I'm not paying for it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I will go see that then, because that looks really cute. That sounds nice. It would be nice to see something a little lighthearted. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
It's very lighthearted. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Like, I know that she ran into some trouble with some of, like, the stuff that she was said, like, early on, but, like,
yeah.
I don't think
so. And she deserved it. She deserved getting called out for this. So she, Rebel Wilson, when she was doing press for this, had said that it's, like, this is an important movie because it's the first movie starring, like, a plus-sized actress. And people fairly called her out over ignoring Queen Latifah and Monique and all the rom-coms that they were in the 90s and beyond. And she doubled down for a little while on that, which made it look worse, until she finally did back off and was like, you're right, I shouldn't have, like, whatever. And it was like, it's fair enough that you would have said something like that, forgetting or even realizing. We do, yeah, it's been a while, we've lived very, you know, we could live sheltered lives, maybe you didn't see those movies, like, you don't know.
Right.
But somebody points it out to you, just take it back.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, you're right, I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So she shouldn't have pulled down like she did for a while, but then, you know, that wasn't enough for me to be like, well, I won't see this
movie. Exactly. I don't need to, like, boycott it. I just wanted to, like, I didn't know that it'd be good, so you saying it's good, I expect this.
I mean, we went in our base expectations. I went with my friend who went to Thor Ragnarok with me. She just wants to ogle Hemsworths.
She just wants to ogle Hemsworths.
We were like, if nothing else, we get 2 hours to ourselves and popcorn, and we're going to look at Hemsworth.
Mm.
So did it went in just like,
That's
fantastic. So I recommend it if, you know, that seems like something that's appealing. And so then my other movie is a movie called Lionheart. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's a Nollywood Nigerian movie. And it is like a family drama type story. It's, it was written and, well, no, maybe not written. No, it was not written. It was directed by and starring an actress called Genevieve Njai.
Okay.
And her character named Adazi, she, like, is high up in her dad's business. He's got a transport business, like a public transport. Because there, I guess, buses are more privatized or whatever in Nigeria. And so they run, like, this bus company.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad is, like, ill. And so he has to, like, kind of step back. And everyone expects that, like, she's going to get to be the, like, acting CEO because, like, she's the one. like, yeah. Just fixes everything. But instead, they bring in, like, he brings in his, like, brother, her uncle, from, he's been on, like, another branch or whatever, and so she, like, bristles about that for a while, but it's really thoughtful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, her mom and some other characters were like, well, it's not because you're a woman that your father didn't pick you to run it, but because of these other things that maybe you need to work on. Maybe you're not quite ready yet. And then, like, the company is, their dad, like, ran it into the ground, though. They find out, you know, typical, very, like, bad dad, like, and reminded me of Thor Ragnarok and Odin, where he's like, so I screwed up, I'm dying, bye. Except the dad's not dead. Her dad's fine. He lives. So, like, she inherits this financial ruin, and she's got to work her way out of it, and her clashing managerial styles with her uncle. But it's about the whole family having to come together and find a way to work it out, and how they all have valuable contributions, and all their points of view are accurate. And the bigger bad of other non-family member people in the company who want to take over. God forbid we not be nepotistic. So it's cute. It's well done, and I liked that it was, like, directed and starring by a woman. And I liked the very more layered approach, less black and white approach to she's passed over for this promotion because she's a woman. Like, it definitely made it be like, that might be a factor. Like, so her dad isn't fully in, you know, yeah, that was probably a factor with him, but it wasn't his always only reason. And maybe some of the other reasons were legit and she had some stuff to figure out. So I thought it was good.
I'm glad.
For me, it's like a Netflix movie. Like, there's a lot that I wouldn't go out and see, but
right.
Yeah, and especially, like, movies by women! Netflix buying more movies from more places, like...
That's always good. Giving us a wider array. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Bringing the world to your doorstep.
It's really important. Like, it reminded me a little bit of that one Saudi Arabian one, just in terms of it's easy for us to get in this, like, echo chamber box and have these impressions of what other countries are like. And those are not at all accurate, and it was really cool. Like, they switch in and out of English and their native language, and I forget which one it is, but it's not, like, the only language in Nigeria, because there's, like, different groups in Nigeria with other languages, and it was just cool to, like, mm-hmm. And they're not doing that because they're trying to sell this movie in Hollywood. Like, that's just, you know, no, like, it was just cool to, like, the world is, we're just undereducated.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, I watched the second season of, well, it was a different name, but the series that Netflix have called, about the Medici.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, the second season is called Medici the Magnificent, yeah. And I didn't actually realize it is produced by an Italian network, but it's entirely in English, and it's all English actors, you know. Sean Bean was in it, Bradley James, like all the, you know, the Richard Madden was in the first season, and freaking Dustin Hoffman, who doesn't even do an accent, like, everybody else sounds English, and then Dustin Hoffman sounds like Dustin Hoffman, and it was really weird. Anyway, but the shows are really good, and they've a new one, but it's End versus Side, which I, like, talked about before, that was made by the French company, Canal Plus, and they're completely in English, because that's what they have to do to sell it. I was like, maybe we should just not be... Fucking learn to read the subtitles, guys.
Right.
But to be fair, I watched it while doing other things, so I couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, like, I love watching subtitles is great, but when you're, like, wanting to multitask, that's not possible to do. I remember when I was so excited, when I remembered, like, I was like, I would like to watch Elite, but I don't have time, I've got to work. And I was like, wait a second, I know Spanish. I was so excited that I could put on Elite while I was writing, because I would still understand it.
I was fluent in Spanish when I was a kid, but it's mm-hmm. been so long since I've used it that I still, like, usually understand, but not always. And I haven't watched Roma yet, because I know I'm going to sit there and watch the subtitles. I'm probably not even really going to listen to what they're saying. I'm going to read the subtitles. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I need to sit down and actually pay attention.
You got to block that off.
And even if I was listening, not my first language, and I'm not
right. Right.
I always have a subject this one. I don't care if it's in English. I don't like. I'm like, no matter how I'm watching it through something, I'm like, are there closed captions?
Oh yeah, no, I love closed captions because I like to talk. And sometimes yeah. I don't hear things. You know, sometimes I don't pay attention because I'm doing something. So then it's good to have the ability to look. Be like, wait, what did they say?
I have my jumbles and a child in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes.
Yeah.
I just need to hear it. Mm-hmm. I can. John's been watching everything in German lately. Like,
oh, yeah, he's practicing?
It's original. They have it dubbed in so many languages.
Oh, wow.
He's been putting on, like, he watched Disenchanted, that Matt Groening show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching that with Emma Stone and Jonah Hill.
Mmm.
There's one morning when I woke up, and whoever they got to dub Emma Stone in German sounds a lot like her.
That's because right. You did mention that.
No, I stared at the screen for like 2 minutes. I was like, something's off.
That's funny. I'm like, so, wait a second.
He's like, you need to put your cage up.
She might speak German.
Yeah. He was like, you need to put your K-dramas in German. I'm like, no, go away. Leave me alone.
K-dramas in German.
Well, I have my one thing.
Yeah.
But maybe some of the Netflix original K-dramas would, because that's what he thinks.
Yeah, maybe.
So, well, moving on, our last little bit here will be my interview with Shadowhunters EPs, Todd Slavkin and Darren Swimmer, because the show is about to come to an end. Bad times for the fans.
Sad.
But here's the interview.
Hello. So, first things first, can I get you guys to identify yourselves just for the transcription, please?
Sure. This is Todd.
Hi, this is Darren.
Okay.
Ask or call back or something if you ever need to figure that out.
That's all right. Okay. So, first off, we're really sad to hear, obviously, about the cancellation. Have you been surprised at all by the reaction from the fans? I mean, the Save Shadowhunters campaign has been pretty huge, actually.
Well, we knew they would be shocked and saddened, and we knew there'd be a groundswell when we heard, but we had no idea how big it would be and how grand it would be. And, you know, the airplane flying above Netflix and the billboards in Korea. I mean, mind-blowing. Really, feeling honored by it and blessed by it and inspired by it, and it's such a beautiful thing. We don't take it lightly. We've been doing this for a while. We've been done a lot of different shows, and to have a show that's made this kind of impact where fans are so moved to action, and not just by the billboards, but by donating money to these amazing causes, and by you know, celebrating diversity and all of that stuff and inclusion and everything that it's created has been, it's just awesome. You know, kudos to the fandom, really. That's Todd.
Okay, so, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I heard that the finale was kind of open-ended a little bit just in case there was an 11th hour reprieve, but as it doesn't look like that's happening, at least not yet, will it feel like a real satisfying finale for the fans?
Yeah, we think it'll feel satisfying, and we always wanted it to feel on one hand like it was the end of a story, and on the other hand like it was continuing on and on. And it wasn't so much that we thought there was going to be an 11th hour reprieve, as much as we didn't know in any way, shape, or form how this story could continue, even if it was only in people's imaginations and fan fiction. We wanted to be a living story and keep going.
And knowing how creative the fans are, we know, like, we've opened up these doors that they'll continue either in their own imaginations or, like, with, like Darren said, fiction or art and stuff. And you can spin it for years.
Is there anything like that had to change once you knew that the end was coming, the way any storylines played out, maybe not getting into specifics, but that you had to go back and redress so that there was a conclusion to them?
It didn't really change. It just accelerated a couple things, you know? Mm-hmm. But it didn't really change. We always, the path that we ended up on were things that we always wanted to explore. We didn't expect to have to do it in a short time. But I don't think the fans will feel rushed. I think the Shadowhunters writing team crafted a story that feels really elegant and grounded and gets you to the point you want to be without feeling like you've just, like, accelerated to a million miles an hour just to achieve, you know, an end game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're really proud of it. We think it will. It's a really great way to send off the show.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the part where I try and get information out of you and you have to avoid answering everything, right? So I know, obviously, there's been teases of there's a wedding coming at the end. I'm not going to even try and get you to tell me who it is, because obviously that's part of the tease. But what can you tell us? What should fans expect from it?
There's a reception.
I could say that it just purely as, because Todd directed it, and this is Darren speaking, Todd directed it, and when I saw the footage, I was just thinking, wow, the fans are going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it is that's getting married, who, like, I have no idea to this day who it actually is. but it came out really special.
A lot of joy. It's a beautiful thing to do in the end of a show, you know, because you also get to see so many people that have been on the show, which is really nice.
Is there anyone special that came back that you were really happy you were able to get? Or can you not start about that?
I mean, literally, like, so many people. It was really great. It was, like, so cool to do.
And I had a scheduling nightmare.
Yeah, a complete scheduling nightmare.
I can imagine that's what it is.
Talented, and they're doing a ton of things, but we were pleased.
Okay. The trailer teases what appears to be a demon Clary. What can you tell us about how that's going to affect her relationship with Jace?
Well, it's hard to date someone with the deepest blood. Boy, let me tell you that. Although, what's really cool about it is it's like, it doesn't negate her feelings. Unlike the owl, which we did, right? Which, like, Jace became this different person. It was like the owl. It was a totally different identity. It's still Clary. And so she still has these feelings. It's not like she doesn't recognize Jace or she's trying to pretend. And I think it's so interesting. And Kat McNamara did such a great job of grounding it as this real person that's feeling these urges. It's part of her blood. It's part of her, like, Morgenstern gene. It's not easy.
Okay. After three seasons, we're finally getting to see Simon and Isabel together. It's been highly anticipated since the very beginning of the season. So can you talk a little bit about, like, what it's been like teasing that epic slow burn and finally getting to deliver on it?
One thing that we wanted to do is, after all the time and the anticipation, we didn't want to make it feel like the two characters were just fulfilling some prophecy. We wanted it to feel organic and real, and that it was coming out of a true friendship and a true bond.
And it's interesting because that's kind of been an MO on the show, if you think of it. I'm just realizing now, like, Clary and Simon, I know it wasn't like they, but like all the Maya and Simon, they were friends first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They, like, built this thing before that turned into something else. And I think it's a testament to just the feeling that that's a stronger relationship when you have that support system, you know, behind it all, of like a friendship. Yeah.
And then you have Malik, who fell in love instantly.
Right.
And
That's also a
good way to start a relationship.
And Clay is a little to that too, yeah. But when it comes to Simon, he's just such a friend, you know? He's just such, like, a guy that becomes your buddy and then he becomes something more.
So you mentioned Malik. Obviously, they've been really, really well received and they're a really popular ship in the show. Were you surprised at how well received they are? And, you know, what can you tease us about that?
I don't think we were too surprised. I mean, they're incredible actors. They're both such beautiful people, and the idea of a 23-year-old human and a 600 or 700-year-old warlock is just, like, such a cool way of showing a couple fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing, and, you know, we inherited the show in season two, so you already have that Malik kiss, and we already saw the chemistry those actors had, and I think our deal was to just deepen it and to just explore all of those issues that came up in an angsty way with so much love. I think it celebrated it in a way that was beautiful, and people yearn to see that they're not always, it's not like a show about a gay couple, that it wasn't about them being this gay couple. They each had their lives, and they were so intricate in the plot and the story beyond just what their relationship was.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just like good storytelling, and I think people like that about the actors, and I just think the love between them is so palpable, you know, like in the looks and stuff and the performances, and Matt and Harry do such a great job of it that, like, I, you know, when I was directing the finale and these moments between them, they have it so worked out after this amount of time. They're built in chemistry, it's just off the hook.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for our 75th podcast. Woohoo! Achievement!
Woo!
As always, you can find news, reviews, interviews, etc. on withanaccent.com and follow With an Accent at With an Accent on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and With an Accent TV on the YouTubes. And the podcast is Pop a la carte pod on both Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye. Bye.